Despite rising coronavirus infection rates in Europe, Singapore looks to Germany to increase business travel. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Today, the city-state and Europe's biggest economy said they've agreed to open a so-called green lane, allowing business travel to restart between the two destinations. The BBC's Nick Marsh is in Singapore with the details.
If there was going to be a country in Europe that Singapore was going to open up a reciprocal green lane with, it was going to be Germany, because we're talking about a trading relationship which is worth about $12.5 billion. Germany is Singapore's largest trading partner in the EU, and similarly, Singapore is Germany's largest trading partner in Southeast Asia. So you've got things like electronics and biochemicals going from Singapore to Germany, and then Germany sending things like food, furniture and car parts going the other way.
Do we have any information on a timeline for when this corridor could open? Because we've seen Germany for the first time register daily coronavirus infections exceeding 10,000.
At the moment, the Singapore Foreign Ministry has given very few concrete details. These things tend to move quite cautiously and slowly, and in line with the health situation in the country that Singapore is looking to do trade with. But in terms of how these reciprocal green lanes work, Singapore has arrangements in place with quite a few other Asian neighbours at the moment, like China, Indonesia, Malaysia, South Korea, Japan. What happens is normally that you have to apply and be granted permission to carry out your business travel. You have to submit a quite detailed business itinerary of what you'll be doing over there. And above all, you have to prove that you have tested negative for COVID-19. So there'll be no leisure time involved. It's strictly business.
Certainly one for us to watch. Nick Marsh for us in Singapore. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Checking the numbers now, strong earnings results are boosting European stocks. Benchmarks across the region are up around 1% this morning. That's despite the latest figures today showing fresh coronavirus restrictions across the continent pushed business activity lower. To Mexico now, where U.S. water debt has become a huge source of economic strain. Under a 75-year-old treaty, the two nations share water supplies from two major rivers along the border, the Colorado and the Rio Grande. But Mexico hasn't been holding up its end of the bargain, and farmers in the country, like Javier Naveras, argued diverting scarce resources would be devastating.
I have like a backup plan for my family to keep working, but not the same level we've been doing it for years, because we use the water from the dams. Next year, the cost of everything is going to rise up.
We don't know what's going to happen in the future.
In the last month, hundreds of protesters have clashed with Mexican soldiers after officials started diverting water back to the U.S. So although the two countries have agreed a resolution to this water debt problem, the BBC's Will Grant says that doesn't mean the conflict is over.
The farmers who were protesting this issue earlier this year will not be pleased to see this. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if there are more protests to come along the region over the shared water resource. As droughts get worse, they continue to be difficult on the Texan side of the border too. These are not issues in a period of climate change that are going to go away for either government.
The BBC's Will Grant reporting there. This week, the FDA approved remdesivir as the first treatment for COVID-19. That says hundreds of vaccine trials designed to prevent the virus continue around the world. Vaccine discovery is one challenge, so is distribution. And a key element of that is the containers shots will be packaged in once they're approved. As part of our ongoing fast-track coverage around the challenges of getting a COVID-19 vaccine to market, I spoke with Favian Stoker, who heads up global strategy at Schott Pharmaceutical, one of the top suppliers of glass vaccine vials.
We have seen a lot of new vaccine projects, a couple of hundreds, as you know. And of course, every project needs packaging. And the packaging of choice these times is a borosilicate glass vial. So we have seen lots of requests coming from pharma customers to us, because everybody, of course, is keen on securing the supply chain.
And as you say, with so many trials underway, how are you able to gauge demand for vials, since we're not sure which ones will work and whether more than one dose will be required? So how do you sort of figure out how many vials you're going to need in the end?
Well, what we have said, we can commit for the next year for roughly 2 billion doses. And the number of vials is depending on the format, because there will be some vials where you have an injection that is only a single shot, that you need a small vial, for example, a 2 milliliter vial. There are some vaccine candidates in the pipeline that will work with a bigger vial, so multiple shots. And then as we are running a global production network of about 16 production plants around the world, we are then trying to, let's say, put that to the local requirements and local demands, because we see currently there will be vaccines launched in the US, in Europe, in China, so in India, in Russia. So there will be different candidates coming to the market, at least from what we see so far. And we think we can deal with that due to our global manufacturing footprint. And on top of this, we have started already before COVID-19 came, big investment program, roughly $1 billion in our operations, and can use that, at least a part of it, for the customer demands.
And how quickly can you increase that production? Are all of the vials that you think you're going to need in the end, are they already made, or will you be producing them as they're needed?
That is normally not possible to make a pre-production, because first you have to know which exact vial you need. Overall, we produce every year 11 billion containers. And that means if you have such a big network that you can very flexibly then turn on the machines when you know the format and produce it, let it run for a couple of weeks, and normally then the order is fulfilled.
So once a vaccine has been approved and has been determined that it's safe for distribution, how quickly can you get the vials where they need to go to be filled and then delivered to everyone in the world?
That will be normally a couple of weeks. When you get a market registration of the vaccine, you have to also specify the packaging for this already. That is part of the registration process. So before, of course, the vaccine will come to the market, we know what packaging it will be, and then we can closely align with our customers what we are doing currently, how much is needed where. And that is currently happening. So we have closed a couple of contracts already with big customers, and we exactly know the format, we exactly know the volumes, and we exactly know at what time they have to be when.
Fabian Stoker of Schott Pharmaceutical Systems, thanks so much for your time.
You're very welcome.
Head over to marketplace.org for my full chat with Fabian and all of our vaccine distribution coverage. Just click on the Fast Track tab at the top of the page. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.